Thanks for dropping by, and welcome to Solve Crime's new series, Caught After Death, where we'll profile criminals who were positively identified for crimes they committed after they died. In 2018, California law enforcement found incredible success sending DNA of an unknown murder and assault suspect to a public genealogy and genetics research website. In short order, they were able to narrow down to genetically close relatives of the suspect and eventually to the suspect himself. After surreptitiously gathering DNA from the man, it ended up being a match, and they arrested Joseph DeAngelo, also known as the Golden State Killer, for 12 murders and over 45 assaults. As you can imagine, this caused cold case detectives worldwide to jump into action, attempting to solve decades-old unsolved murders. Another recent success story is from the Cascade County Sheriff's Office in Montana. They may have just cracked the oldest cold case using reverse DNA or forensic genealogy just last month in June 2021, 65 years after the double homicide of two young kids in Great Falls, Montana. Cascade County Sheriff's Detective Sergeant John Cadner took over the case in 2012 and quickly got to know the ins and outs of the case that dated back to 1956, when a 16-year-old girl and her 18-year-old boyfriend were accosted and their lives taken. With the help of Vodi Technology, a Virginia-based company and the same firm that helped investigators nab the Golden State Killer in 2018, and some relatives willing to provide DNA samples, they were able to definitively confirm that Kenneth Gould was their killer. Gould, who lived roughly a mile from the female victim, had died in 2007. He quite literally got away with murder his entire life. Kenneth Gould was never questioned by law enforcement, not as a witness, not as a suspect. He was never interrogated. He never saw his name in the newspaper or on TV. He never saw the look of disappointment and horror on the faces of his family. He never wore handcuffs. He never had a perp walk. He never ate a prison meal. He never sat at the defendant's table in a courtroom. He never endured listening to a victim's impact statement. All because he was caught after death. This is Solve Crimes. Incorporated in 1888, Great Falls, Montana was named after a series of five waterfalls located on the Missouri River north and east of the city. It sits 3,300 feet above sea level and is just under 24 square miles. From 1950 to 1970, Great Falls was Montana's largest city. Billings took over the top spot in 1970, with Missoula second largest and Great Falls third. As of 2021, that order still stands. In 1956, when this horrible crime happened, the population of Great Falls was 39,000. As of 2019, it is 58,000. The Great Falls community's largest employer is still Malmstrom Air Force Base, located just east of the city. It's where the victim, Lloyd Dwayne Bogle, was stationed at the time of his death. Great Falls is a very popular tourist destination in Montana, with 1 million overnight visitors annually. In August 1950, Great Falls gained some notoriety with the Mariana UFO incident. Nick Mariana, the general manager of the Great Falls Electrics minor league baseball team, and his secretary observed two bright silvery spheres move rapidly over the city's empty baseball stadium. Mariana used his camera to film the objects. The film is believed to be one of the first ever taken of a suspected UFO. The event received widespread international publicity and is regarded as one of the first UFO incidents in the United States. In 2007, the Great Falls White Sox were renamed the Great Falls Voyagers to commemorate the Mariana event. The new team logo even features a green alien in a flying saucer. An interesting mix of well-known people hail from Great Falls, Montana, including horror filmmaker Ted Gagan, former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf, child actress Missy Gold, who you might remember from Benson. She now has a PhD in psychology and a thriving practice in Napa County, California. Disney film actress Barbara Luddy, country singer Charlie Pride, and comedian slash musician slash beatboxer from Late Night with James Corden, Reggie Watts. 16-year-old Patricia Kalitsky was a junior at Great Falls High School, and her 18-year-old boyfriend, Lloyd Dwayne Bogle, was an airman from Waco, Texas, stationed at nearby Malmstrom Air Force Base. The pair quickly became sweethearts after they met and had been seeing each other for many months. In fact, Patty's parents considered Dwayne, as he was known, a member of the family already. So they weren't immediately concerned and did not call police when she didn't come home that night, thinking that the two may have eloped. It was 1956, remember. Very, very different times. On the evening of Monday, January 2nd, 1956, Patty and Dwayne were last seen at a drive-in restaurant on the west side of Great Falls. They ate in their car, and employees last saw them leaving the parking lot around 9 p.m. The question is, did someone follow them? According to authorities, Patty and Dwayne were parked at a known Lover's Lane-type area near Wadsworth Park along Sun River when they were confronted by Kenneth Gould. Gould ordered Bogle out of the car at gunpoint and had him remove his belt. Gould then tied the belt, or had Patty do it, around Bogle's wrists behind his back. There is no evidence that Bogle resisted or fought back against Gould. Blood evidence shows that he took Bogle over to a nearby tree where he shot him in the back of the head. Patty probably was forced to watch. The bullet entered behind his right ear and exited out of his left temple. Gould then picked Bogle up and placed him face down next to his car where he was found the next day. The coroner estimated that he was shot around 10 p.m. that night. Gould then put Patty into his vehicle, drove her north of Great Falls, where he assaulted her and then shot her exactly as he did her sweetheart. The bullet entered near her right ear and exited out her cheek just below her left eye. She was then tossed down the embankment. County coroner Dr. Magna estimated that Patty was shot about an hour after Dwayne, but said she probably didn't die for several hours. Robbery was clearly not Gould's motive. Bogle's wallet had $5 cash inside, and there was an expensive camera. Both were left behind in the car. On Tuesday, January 3rd, 1956, three boys were out walking along a dirt road alongside Sun River near Wadsworth Park, northwest of Great Falls city limits, when they came upon a gruesome scene. Dwayne Bogle's body was lying face down next to his car, his head in a pool of blood. A large-scale manhunt began immediately, hoping to find Patty alive, but the very next day, a Cascade County road worker found her body down a steep 20-foot embankment north of Great Falls. Then Cascade County Sheriff D.J. Leeper reported at the end of January 1956 that it was determined after Patty's autopsy that the bullet that killed her and Dwayne was a large-caliber .45. With her parents' permission, officials exhumed her body on Saturday, January 28th, just 2 weeks after she was laid to rest. Bullet particles were removed from her head and sent to the FBI for further examination. The exhumation and recheck of the findings only took a short time that Saturday, and Patty was reinterred the same day. Almost immediately, a union group from Great Northern Railway created a reward fund, starting with $500, for information that would lead to the arrest and conviction of the killer or killers. With many public and private donations, the fund quickly grew to $6,000. After inflation, that $6,000 in 2021 would be nearly $60,000. A few fellow airmen who knew Dwayne were interviewed, and there was even a confession that looked promising but ended up being false. As planned from the very beginning, the reward fund, including interest that it accrued, was dispersed to charity in 1967, since the reward never brought anyone to justice. Current Cascade County Sheriff Sergeant Cadner said, "You had two young, vibrant individuals that were well-liked among their peer group. Investigators back then poured their heart and soul into this case. They've left a little bit of themselves from what I've seen." An interesting side note is that at one point, famed crime boss James Whitey Bulger was a suspect in the Kalitsky-Bogle murder case. Bulger had been in the Great Falls, Montana area and had been arrested for rape in 1951. You may remember Bulger's story as it was told in the 2015 Johnny Depp film, Black Mass. Rumor has it that Bulger hated Depp's portrayal of him. Whitey Bulger was found dead in his jail cell, apparently killed by his cellmate, in 2018. Cascade County officially eliminated Bulger through DNA testing before sending the samples to Bodhi Technology in 2019, where they were able to extract another DNA profile from the over six-decade-old sample. Speaking of over six-decades-old DNA samples, while this case has received worldwide coverage because it very well may be the oldest cold case to be solved using forensic genealogy and reverse DNA in history, no one seems to be talking about the foresight, maybe even brilliance, of Cascade County Coroner Dr. Charles Magner. During Patty's autopsy, Dr. Magner discovered traces of sperm on or in her body. He placed the sample on a slide, and that slide was preserved in an evidence vault for over six decades. Remember, in 1956, law enforcement had very little tools in their bag compared to today. They could determine blood type, but not whose blood it was. Their only available methodologies to arrest, let alone convict someone of a crime, were fingerprints, eyewitnesses, and confessions. That's it. It is absolutely incredible that Dr. Magner thought to preserve that sample in evidence, not knowing how or when it would ever help the case. If not for that sample, the case never would have been solved. Period. Dr. Magner served as trustee on the committee that created the reward set up to capture Patty and Dwayne's killer. He was an avid golfer and originally from North Dakota, graduating from University of North Dakota School of Medicine and then attending Rush Medical College at the University of Chicago, graduating in 1938. He moved to Great Falls in 1941 and opened a private medical and surgery practice. In 1950, he was elected coroner for Cascade County, where he served 29 years at that position, retiring in 1979. The good doctor passed away in 1996 at the age of 83. At the time of this double homicide in 1956, Kenneth Gould was 29 years old and a horse trainer by trade. It turns out he lived just over a mile from the Kalitsky's home and kept horses 600 yards from the house that Patty grew up in. It's quite possible, even likely, that he had taken notice of Patty and may have even followed her and Dwayne that night. Gould apparently had a type, an age type. He had married another 16-year-old girl in 1952, eventually having five children with her. The family moved after the murders and bounced around a handful of towns in Montana before moving away for good in 1967 when Gould moved his family to Alton, Missouri, where he ended up dying in 2007 at the age of 79. According to Sergeant Cadner, Kenneth Gould did not have a criminal record. That's why they didn't get a hit on his DNA when it was run through CODIS, the FBI's national database. Three of Gould's children agreed to submit DNA samples to help the investigation, which is how they verified that Gould was the killer. By all accounts, Gould led a normal life. Gould's neighbors, like Edgar Wilson, were genuinely shocked.
I can't believe this stuff about Ken. I just plain do not believe it. He was an easygoing, soft-spoken. He didn't drink, he didn't raise Cain. I never heard him cuss in my life. Just a real good man.
Gould's friends and family had zero idea that he was actually a cold-blooded killer. What do you think the odds are that these weren't Gould's only victims? Sergeant Cadner said that they are looking for other cases that Gould may be a suspect in.
We did do a lot of research and looking to see if there was any unsolved or homicides in relation to where he was at certain times. We just were not able to find any.
Thanks so much for listening to the Solve Crimes podcast. Be sure to watch the video version of this episode on our YouTube channel, Solve Crimes TV. There's a link in the description. Make sure you subscribe to our video channel for more episodes just like this one, as well as our ongoing series of unsolved crimes that we are always working on in between series like this. We really do appreciate you liking and sharing this episode and subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to become a supporter, helping us spend as much time as we can solving actual crimes for families of victims, please click the link in the description. We appreciate it more than you know. Feel free to comment, ask questions, or provide information you have for us. Until next time, this is Solve Crimes.